Hey guys, welcome to episode 175 with my marvelous guest, Rhea Butcher. I am absolutely over the moon delighted that she was able to do the podcast. I'm such a fan of hers, and I think you'll really enjoy this episode. I wanted to get just a few shout outs in to this intro, guys. I am a little behind on, you know what? I should just have one general intro where like a computer generated voice says, episode 175. With each respective episode number, because they're always the same. I'm always apologizing for being behind on shout-outs. I do want to thank, however, Andrea about your wonderful email about the nuns, Aaron for your glorious email, Dylan for your beautiful email, and the potential to possibly go to Disney World. I just couldn't be more excited following the Jessica Marazin episode. As some of you know, I'm very interested in doing a pilgrimage with her to Harry Potter Land. Mallory, I want to thank you so much for your amazing Velociraptor drawing that you did. It was a kind of a joke that Tara Platt and I made in the last episode, and she put pen to paper. That's maybe not true. It might be computer to brain, and did this amazing illustration. I should put it up on the Facebook page. And then Casey, thank you so much for your recommendation for a book I want to check out, Alpha Beta, How 26 Letters Changed the Western World. I recently freaked out over the idea of cultures forming alphabets, and this seems like it's going to cause me to freak out yet further in a positive way. I think that's all for now, guys. I hope you're having a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I'm already wishing that we had recorded that.
For sure. I can say it again.
That you went to art school. Yeah. Your hair looks just great.
Oh, thank you.
It makes me miss my short hair.
Thank you.
I don't think
I'm sorry it makes you miss your short
thank
hair.
Thank you for your apology.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Because it's an immediate upsetting situation.
I understand.
For me to see you with hair, your hair looking so great
is an upsetting situation
it's
most
an
of the time.
Upsetting situation. I've been going. I mean, I really have been. It's been long for mm-hmm. so long, and no one ever sees it because I don't. I treat it as if like
you put it. Up,
I walk around as if it's short,
like a short. Hair.
I just put it in a bun, like a right. real, like a regular short hair.
But it is a big commitment because when you put it up like you have short hair, it feels as if you have short hair.
Yeah.
Yet. You still have the option of long
all
hair.
All of the upkeep.
Well,
of
the upkeep,
long hair.
But you also have the option, though,
yeah.
to have long hair if you want to.
Yeah.
Whereas I have never wanted that option my entire life.
Yeah.
So now
I was
I'm
looking
just
at
like,
the pictures you sent. So you had like shoulder length hair. In
yeah. And in some of those pictures, it's like past my shoulders. But I
yeah.
legit wore it in a ponytail every
right?
single
That's what
day.
I'm talking about. Yeah.
Like a serious ponytail with the most ridiculous bangs.
Yeah.
I don't know what those were.
Were the, is it just straight across? I can't
it was,
remember.
But I have this, you can sort of see it. It's been
it
acting will, up.
Oh, good. Widow's
I have this,
peak.
Yeah. Maybe. Widow's peak and like a bit of a split.
Uh-huh.
It's working mm-hmm, pretty mm-hmm. well today.
Yeah.
But
no,
man,
it's great.
I've been fighting that my whole life. Just like a Jesus split and a cowlick at the
yeah.
same time. And the split is in the middle of the cowlick.
I just can't accept that you have any problems with what I'm
well,
seeing.
It's been like a work in progress for 20 years, basically.
Okay.
So
did
a you, lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears have gone into this haircut.
But when you first got your, how old were you when you finally got it, chopped it all off?
I chopped it all off when I was in fifth grade,
uh-huh.
like really short and had like a funny part. Like the guy that cut my hair's name was Jez.
Uh-huh. As if that explains
which,
it.
I didn't understand any of the implications of any of that was going on
Jez.
In like northeastern Ohio
uh-huh.
with this guy. Because once he cut my bob, my like Jodie Foster bob that I had
oh
for a
God.
Long time.
Let's
and he
go
just,
ahead
like,
and compare all hairstyles to Jodie Foster. I'm ready. I'm on
right?
board. Yeah.
He cut up in the back. So there was like and he was like, don't tell, this is not a mistake. Tell people this is
yeah.
not a mistake. It's on purpose. Like he was trying to give me something cool.
He
and
cut up like he made it longer in front and shorter and back. Or
just
he
like
cut
the tiniest bit. Like imagine like
yeah.
4 inches wide.
Yeah.
He just went zoop and cut at an angle.
Oh.
So it was like, it looked like huh. a mistake.
Yeah.
He was like, it's not a mistake.
It's very difficult when they say to you,
yeah.
now everyone's going to think this is a mistake.
Everyone is going to think.
But I've
every
done you
single
a huge
person,
service
but
here
just
today.
Just tell everyone as
yeah.
a child that
yeah.
it's not a mistake.
Yeah.
You didn't do this to yourself.
Yeah.
So then with this short haircut, And I will find that picture and send that to you because it's a good one. It's not high school, it's childhood. But then he, like, instead of having a straight part, he did like a zigzag part and then cut my hair. So then I had to always try to put it in a zigzag, which is very hard to do.
I'm so confused.
So was I.
A zigzag part? I've never heard of such a thing.
I don't think anybody else has ever had. Almost like when you would braid your hair, which I never did. Because I didn't want to have braided hair.
Yeah.
Because you would do that with a braid. Yeah,
you'd take pieces.
But it's tight. God, and then it sits so like that. Weird. But this was just loose hair. So hard to get it back in that zigzag. So that was the first time. And then I like grew it out because people would call me a boy in like a mean way. Or they would do it. Like I've always, since I was about six, I've just had a problem going into women's restrooms. Public restrooms. And people, mainly men... Because for some reason I go into these public restrooms and men are in there cleaning them and then they would yell at me to get out of there, which is so, it's not irony, but it's something.
Yeah.
Like a man telling you like, you're a man, you shouldn't be in here.
Yeah.
It is like, it's a bit I'm working on to try to unlock what the thing
you're
is.
You're right. What is that? Because you're right. It's
so
not,
perfect. You know,
first of all, I applaud you for not just assuming that it's irony because I think most people would. But you're right. It's sort of like a right turn from irony somehow.
Right. And it's like
maybe it is irony.
It feels like the same feeling that's behind like dudes that have to like smack down women on the internet. You know, it's like, no, I know better.
Yeah.
Even though by your own logic, you are wrong for being in here.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even be in here either. But actually, I'm a woman. So then, you know, as a kid, it was like, you know, that's what I wanted. I mean, I wanted to look like a boy.
Right.
But then in reality, when I had the short haircut, the way people treated me, it was like too hard to do. And so then I grew my hair out longer. And then when I went to college, basically, I like cut it off.
Yeah.
I cut it all off. It was like...
Because you do. And it's certainly, I have never thought of you as looking like a boy, but that's on me.
Sure.
I mean, you definitely rock androgyny in an awesome way.
Thank you.
But that's exactly why I wouldn't say that. Because somebody who I would say looks male... really looks male to me.
Right. Yes.
Opposed to like, oh no, you have the, you know, you sort of have the androgyny that I think is marvelous. But you do have the face for short hair. There's just no doubt about it.
It fits
really
me
hard to imagine.
Me too. Long hair I have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
I honestly can't even think. It would look so weird.
Have you ever wigged it up?
Just not
to
yet.
Sort of go,
but I would love to put a wig on and just be like, look at this.
Look at this, everybody. Walk into a men's room. What do you think now? That didn't prove
you're an alien,
really anything.
Right?
I'm not sure. Yeah. Who you got revenge at in that situation. I'm so glad you're doing my haircut podcast.
Absolutely.
This is a pleasure.
Chopping it up with Janet Varney, right?
Chopping it up. A lot of people think it's a chop salad podcast.
Sure, no, but it's
incorrect.
Hair.
Incorrect. What if I did just insist? That seems like something that like Weinbach would do. Like Brent Weinbach would be like, and then I had said it, so I went ahead and talked about
that's
hair
what
for
it
an
is.
Hour.
Yeah.
I'm just not that person.
We don't have to commit to
but
that.
I think I would have saluted him if he had done that.
Of course.
Now I'm saying as if it was a choice he made, like in an alternate universe.
He did. Brent Weinbach did such good work
chopping
on this podcast
with
we're recording.
With Brent Weinbach. Yeah, he was great. You guys just listen to that
episode.
Listen
to that
I don't
one.
Know why I...
Get into an alternate universe and listen to that episode instead of this one.
Yeah, hopefully it won't take you that long. You know where I think maybe the door to an alternate universe is if you're a man going to the woman's room, if you're a woman going to the men's room, shit get crazy.
It gets crazy.
Right away.
But you know
right
what's away. Funny? I accidentally went into a men's restroom about 2 years ago. It doesn't happen very, because I'm always very diligent around the bathroom. It's like, it's a place that I have to like prepare before I go in, you know, like, how many people are around the doorway? Is there a line? Like it is like a minefield for me.
Yeah.
So I was in the Cleveland airport and I was in like a bad, just like my family stuff was happening. So I was like, I was distraught. And I like just went into the men's restroom without even really looking. And I was like, there's a lot of soldiers in here. And then I went, oh my God, they're all standing up. And then like a couple of them saw me and I just like turned around and left. They didn't care at all.
Right.
That's
right,
what's
right.
so funny about it. And like, I mean, the thing is like women have given me shit in the women's restroom too. But
like they think you're a boy in the women's
room. Yeah. Like some woman will be like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Yeah. There has to be a rate of diminishing returns in like cities that are more and more metropolitan to smaller and smaller communities.
Absolutely. It's really like the airport.
Right.
These days, where it's hard because that, even if you're in Los Angeles, there are still people from everywhere.
Yes, yes.
In the Los Angeles airport.
That's
so you're
correct.
Like running into a such a mixed geographical population.
Yeah.
And mixed population in general, just like all different kinds of people in the airport. Mainly people that can afford air travel. So
well,
that would be the one thing.
Sure.
The
that
one,
is one commonality.
Thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. And people are just so focused in the airport.
Right.
On what? I don't know.
Well, you know what? It's funny you would say that because, well, first of all, I want to say one quick thing, which is that I very much enjoy the little tip of the hat you just gave to this thing that happens to all of us where the most obvious answer for why you're seeing something for some reason eludes you and your brain comes up with like a different reason or or just an observation where like I feel like I've had the same situation. I can't think of an example, but I'm putting hand sanitizer on.
Oh, yeah.
I suddenly like... I don't know why. I suddenly felt like I had...
You needed to sanitize.
No, it was like a weird, like, I put my hand up near my face and for some reason I had this like, did I pet my dog? This is another segue. This is another total tangent. I've just worked on a kid show with dogs this last week. And
real dogs,
trained dogs. But there was so much slobbering and so much licking of my face.
Yeah.
I usually don't think that about my dogs, but I think I got... myself diligent about that.
Sure.
So that sort of flashback. Now,
understand.
The part about walking into the male bathroom.
The male bathroom.
And sort of making that quick observation of like, oh, there's a lot of soldiers in here. And sort of not connecting the dots that fast.
Yeah.
I just always enjoy that. Those moments where you're like, my brain really sort of clearly was awake because I made an observation, but like couldn't take it to the next level of like, which means I'm in the men's room and I should not be in the men's room.
And not because there's only male soldiers, but because there's a lot more
that's
of them
correct.
And you don't really see that many female soldiers in clip, you know. Like,
that's correct. You just go all the way down the rabbit
hole. I can figure it all out.
Yeah. But then the other thing I was going to say about the airport is, you know, you would think that that would be a place where people are so tired and focused on themselves that they would notice the least of all.
I think that they are like, why are you in my space? Like, this is my space and you're not supposed to be in here.
Interesting.
Which is why people are so freaked out about the bathroom anyway. Is that it's like such the women's bathroom. Because people don't, it's not about the men. The conversation is not about people being in the men's room.
Right.
It's about like men being in women's space, which as a woman, as a cis woman, I appreciate and understand. However, we have to figure out a way to parse it out that like, it's really just people trying to go to the bathroom and like, you're not actually talking about like cis men going into a women's restroom.
Right.
We're talking about actually the opposite of that.
Right.
And like, it's a woman. Everyone is, I shouldn't say it's, it's all women being in the women's restroom, you know, or
and
just having restrooms that people can access.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Just
so many
onesies.
Places in
Nobody
Europe.
Cares.
Yeah. So many places in Europe are just like, yeah, all wash your hands in the same place. You go into your, I might be peeing next to a guy. Like at what point do we sort of,
we could also just do away with the urinal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We could just,
is it super effective? Like, is it really efficient?
It's so gross.
One wonders. When I was in Japan, I wasn't prepared for the difference between like, I, for some reason, because most toilets have now been westernized.
Yeah.
And also the Japanese now are known for like their extraordinary avant-garde beautiful toilets.
Don't they have like sounds?
Like, yeah, so,
like,
you can make a flushing sound if you don't want to be heard flushing your own. I'm not sure. But but there are some areas in Tokyo and especially Kyoto where you see that there it's like Western toilet and then doesn't say anything. And then if you open that, it's essentially just a hole in the ground with like a lid on it that you just squat down as a woman and squat over. And that was the first time I'd ever experienced
that
kind of toilet. I know. I know.
Because our toilets are like so improperly designed anyway.
Yeah.
They're like really bad for bodies.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
They're poisonous.
They are poisonous.
They, you know, they make it with asbestos still.
Of course, yeah.
All and asbestos toilets.
The water has lead in it, right?
And the water has lead in it. Take me back to where you were saying, where was Jez?
Oh, that was in, I grew up in Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
So this was in Akron.
Okay. And so you went to high school in Akron?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to live there my whole life, and I didn't leave until I was 24.
I haven't had that many Ohioans.
You got it.
Okay.
You
that
can
was
also
like
call
I was
Buckeyes.
Trying to. Oh, I haven't had that
People
many Buckeyes.
Go by
That's
that
good.
One.
The Buckeye State.
Yeah.
What's
Buckeye
a Buckeye?
State. It is like a nut, I think, seed, acorn type thing. It comes off of a buckeye tree.
Like some sort of sunflower. Mm-mm. I have no...
No, it's a tree.
And I couldn't even tell you why. There's no basis for that.
Like somewhere along the line, you were like, sunflower. Okay. And then just kept moving on with your life.
I made a decision with myself.
I don't have time for this.
It's a sunflower, right?
I'm a busy gal. Yeah. Of course it's a... But I guess a buckeye isn't really... Well, so it looks like a buck.
You know what?
It looks like the eye of a buck. How grim.
I know. Yeah, that is gross. I didn't think about it that way. I know why you...
You do?
Buckeye, and then there's a black-eyed Susan.
Black-eyed Susan! Is it! Oh, my God.
This is amazing that we just figured that...
That is the best one-minute mystery that's ever been solved.
This season of cereal.
That was really easy to solve.
We got it.
Oh, my God. Thank you. That's exactly
why. This is why it's so great to meet new people, because then we... And I got the satisfaction of making that connection.
Yeah. God, that's great. So, but it's a nut that looks like the eye of a buck.
Yeah, it's like an acorn without a top, basically.
Is it edible? Why is it so special that they
I
made it
know.
In the Buckeye State?
I honestly don't know. I mean, and I usually am very well up on my like Ohio history stuff, but the Buckeyes is the mascot for the Ohio State.
And so
University.
Is a person just dressed as a nut?
It is.
It is.
Brutus. Brutus the Buckeye, his head is a Buckeye.
Perfect.
And then he's just like got a human body.
Huh.
And then there it's
disturbing.
Really popular in Ohio to make Buckeyes, which is just like a little dessert thing that's chocolate with peanut butter in the middle.
Oh, well,
so
listen, that's
that.
I have no issue with that whatsoever.
Yeah. And the leaf of the tree looks just like pot. It looks very similar to like a marijuana leaf.
Interesting. Well, Ohio is one of those places that I'm trying to think of. So I guess what I'm saying is I haven't had that many Ohioans.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to like smooth it over in case it was just Ohioans for some reason.
Sure.
I don't know why it would
I appreciate
be, but,
that.
I was trying to walk the line,
yeah.
But you were
you did a great job.
Shrewdly picked up on the fact that I was actually right.
Yeah.
But my friend Suzanne Santo, who is in an awesome band called Honey Honey, she certainly is from Cleveland.
Yes.
And she does have that like loving pride and just like real affection for Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
in the way that people do about a city that is sort of misunderstood or misimagined,
yeah.
I guess. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, for sure.
Because there's just no, I have no sense of what Cleveland would have been or is.
Right.
And then people from Cleveland are like, that's actually great. Like,
yeah.
You would really like it.
Yeah.
You know? So do you have that? Did you have that sort of point of pride about it? And did you always, or was it something you came back to?
I mean, I definitely didn't always.
Yeah.
And what's funny is like, I love Cleveland. Like my favorite, I'm really a huge baseball fan and my team is the Cleveland Indians.
Mm-hmm.
My other team was the Atlanta Braves. So I just really love the racist baseball team. It's just what it's.
I already immediately was thinking about the goofy, big nose,
it's
red.
Terrible. Yes.
Cheerful.
It's my favorite team, and that is their team name, so I call them that, but I try not to buy even anything that says the word Indians on it.
Yeah.
Like, not that I'm some hero, but just because I'm like, hey, I don't want to wear that. I'm a white person.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't wear that. Like,
yeah.
It's not my thing to choose. It's my team, but like, I bought an away jersey because it just says Cleveland.
Perfect.
Doesn't have the Chief Wahoo on it.
Perfect.
They luckily have made that logo their secondary logo.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll get rid of it soon.
What's the first one now?
It is a block C hat. It just is like a block,
great.
You
yeah.
know, like a collegiate looking seat. And I think it's a cool looking hat.
Yeah.
I like it a lot better.
What are the, I always go back and forth on this because I took a bunch of, in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
the department is American Indian Studies.
Oh,
and I worked at the American Indian Film Institute.
Mm-hmm.
But then other people, so that's like as named by American Indians.
Of course. Yes.
But then people who don't know that get mad at me when I say American Indian and not Native American.
Yeah.
So I just want to clear that up right now. It's a longer, slightly more complex mystery solved. but anyway, what are the tribes that are in Ohio? Do you know?
I don't know.
I
not off the top of my head.
That.
I don't know.
It might be like, I know that's, yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm good at the stuff on the West Coast, but I'm less good in the middle of the country.
As a Cleveland Indians fan, I should know that.
You should know the tribe you're most closely offending.
That would be the baseball team. That's the only
sure.
Yeah. Oh, but I brought
it might be like Cherokee or something. You know, the thing, the thing that, that one of the tribes that like so many people have like 1/80th or whatever.
That sounds right to me.
I really don't know. This is a slippery slope.
It is. Absolutely. So I'm not going to guess.
Great.
Not my place.
Great.
Oh, but the reason I brought that up is because, you know, I'm a fan of the Northeastern, the Cleveland teams, not a huge football fan. So I don't really care about the Browns, but whatever. But I'm from Akron, and so I never say that I'm from Cleveland, which is an interesting to me distinction.
Yeah,
because I know a lot of people from some people from Akron will just say they're from Cleveland.
Yeah,
like because they lived there for a year or something like that. But like,
how far away are they?
Like 40 minutes.
Okay,
not even. You know, like it's a very
that would
quick
be
drive.
Like me saying I was from Phoenix, which I would never. Well, I guess that's 2 hours away, but still, like that's not something that would I would never. Replace Tucson with any other city that was better known because it was nearby.
Yeah, because more people know about it or something. Yeah. Like I did not grow up there and they're two distinctly different cities.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't implying, by the way, that you did. I was just brought up Cleveland in general because that's like, that's the only
absolutely
point of reference I have for Ohio, which is the sort of like,
now hold on.
No, hang on.
It's pretty...
We've made some mistakes.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I totally got what you're saying. Yeah. I just think it's funny also that I'm like, no. That's not where I'm from.
How does Akron compare to...
Like size-wise?
Or even just like culture-wise?
Culture-wise, it's...
What's the culture like in Akron?
I don't even know.
It's such a weird... that's the thing is, it's such a city... Well, here, I can tell you, give you an idea of the culture based off of the people that have come from there.
Mm-hmm.
The band Devo.
Okay, great.
Chrissy Hynde.
Wow, we knew that.
Yes. And Jim Jarmusch.
Okay.
The Black Keys and LeBron James.
All right.
Like, these are the people that are from Akron that are still sort of in the culture right now.
Yeah. Is it... What? I'm trying to remember... I certainly don't travel as much as a stand-up, but I now have that thing where I travel enough that I can't remember what airport is why.
Right. Yes.
But I remember some airport where that was an airport that very aggressively at like floor to ceiling portraits of famous people from there.
Uh-huh.
Might have been Oklahoma City.
That
now
makes
that
sense.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing that Akron would do? Like,
I mean,
just as a reminder, everyone, these people came from here.
Yeah. With the Black Keys and LeBron James, for sure.
Yeah.
Just because they're like, and the Black Keys are very into their Akron roots, and so is LeBron James. Like, mm-hmm. He has never dropped that from his whole thing.
I'm trying to immediately, as I'm sure many have before me, for probably even better reasons than I, but I'm trying to think of what the through line is there. There is something kind of like unapologetically, like I know who I am,
yes.
But in a non-pushy way.
Yeah.
Does that make
like,
sense?
Like this is it.
Yeah.
You're either into it or you're not.
Yeah.
I'm doing my own
I
thing.
I do see that. I do feel like I can
it's
see
it's also like
there.
A little off kilter,
mm-hmm.
Not, you know, it fits, but it doesn't fit,
mm-hmm.
You know, because LeBron James is not Michael Jordan, you know,
right.
It's like he's got a different thing going on. And what that different thing is like he's kind of a family man,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is like
wholesome.
Sort of atypical for professional sports, you know, for that to be like your thing. That
that's
like,
a good point. But so when you were growing up there, many of the people that you just named were not yet necessarily. From like it wasn't they weren't a thing yet,
right? They were in the either
but
in the
Hynde
past.
Certainly was,
yeah. Like
was that something that you were like acutely aware of?
Yeah, like Devo and
Chrissy Devo
Hynde,
for sure. Yeah,
and Jim Jarmusch. Not until I was like getting into artsy stuff or whatever, and didn't realize he was from there. But yeah, sure.
Did that serve as a kind of like? Did you yourself have a sense of? You know what? I had something like I'm. Somebody could say that about me once. Sometimes
I think
you
so.
Know?
Yeah. Because I always felt like a weirdo.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like Akron is like a town for weirdos. There's also plenty of normal people there.
Right.
It's not like everybody's got a
that would make it,
pottery
you know,
wheel
San
in their
Francisco
kitchen
or
something.
Right.
Yeah.
But some people do.
But some
intrigued. Yeah.
I mean, and like Tim the Ripper Owens is also from there. He's from my neighborhood. That's the guy that like became the Judas Priest lead singer.
Oh, yeah.
When,
okay.
What's his name left? And they made that movie Rockstar starring Mark Wahlberg and Jennifer Aniston.
Uh-huh.
And that's like loosely based on his life story. I used to see him write as 10 Speed
in
my neighborhood.
That's really
And
funny.
LeBron is from like a similar, a very close neighborhood from the same area. But yeah, I just always felt like it's just got this tinge of weirdness to
mm-hmm.
it. Like Devo is a perfect example of that, of like, I could not imagine that coming from anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like an art students in the middle of, because Kent State is where they met.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in the middle of the woods, kind of.
Yeah.
Like compared to here.
Yeah.
Compared to Los Angeles, it's in the middle of the woods.
God, it's so sad that the best point of reference I have for Kent State is obviously what happened. But, yeah. And for those of you who don't know, I guess look it up.
I guess look it up. Or listen to the song Tins Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
There you go. Yeah, that's a great quick course. You'll know there were four dead in Ohio. You may not remember why, but you will know that part because it repeats a lot in the song.
Many times.
Yeah. So in what way did you feel like a weirdo when you were in high school? What was your high school like? And what were you like?
Well, I think I felt like a weirdo. And I think it was probably mostly because I was gay, but mm-hmm. I didn't know that's what it was mm-hmm. just because I didn't know gay people. And, you know,
did you know that you were?
Yeah.
At that point?
Yeah, like really, sometimes like you at don't four, know. But you don't yeah. know what the word is for. You just feel like, oh, I'm different because I don't mm-hmm. want to do that.
Yeah.
Like I always wanted to be the dad when we would play. I went to all girls school mm-hmm. in elementary school. So I'd always want to be like the dad.
Yeah.
I always wanted to wear like a vest, you know, when we would play dress up, I never grabbed dresses. That's not what I wanted to do. Yeah. Like I just wanted to do the other things. I didn't like think about my wedding. You know, I thought about like a suit I could wear.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, so the one distinguishing thing too could be because like obviously there are also straight girls who are tomboys
of
who
course.
Also feel that way. And then there are gay women who mm-hmm. love putting on a dress. So it's hard to say, but if you were having that experience and nobody was sort of even touching that
yes.
in terms of like, yep. you know, you didn't see anybody else doing that or
right.
being aberrant, if you will,
yeah,
then yeah, that does feel like it sticks out.
Yeah. And then the other funny thing is like people didn't talk about the fact that I was a tomboy, because I feel like something that happens if you are a straight girl, little girl that is straight, and you are a tomboy, people can tell, like the people around you, the adults around you are like, oh, you're such a tomboy,
right?
Because they can see in you like that's just who you are.
Yeah.
And, but then when you're gay, parents are like, oh boy, or at least they were in the 80s. It's definitely changed now. So this is only my experience.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't name it. Mm. You know, like people didn't call me a tomboy because they were like, this runs
deeper,
maybe
than
a little bit deeper than a girl that like just loves sports and doesn't like prissy things and, but is still like, likes boys and stuff.
Yeah.
Like my last name is Butcher. And no one has ever called me Butch in my entire life until now.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. I remember a very specific moment in elementary school because I used to go to after school care, which was what we just called like kids with single moms, basically. And so we would stay till like 6 or 7 and it was like a crew of kids, of girls. And these women were like the teachers or whatever we called them, Miss something. It was such a specific experience because we only were in the gym, just like doing your homework in the gym.
Yeah.
It's such a specific feeling to it. But I remember one day we were like trying to come up with nicknames for everybody. Uh-huh. And somebody's like, we should call her Butch. And the one woman, Miss Mary, was like, no, you shouldn't.
No. Oh, that's so
because
funny.
It was too accurate.
Right.
You know, like you call somebody Shorty if they're really tall or something. You know, like you don't.
Yeah.
You don't give a nickname to someone that is what they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's funny because, I mean, now, not to put too fine a point on it, but I do feel like, but you're also not Butch to me. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Well, like I wouldn't call Tilda Swinton Butch.
Sure.
I wouldn't call David Bowie Butch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So uh-huh. it's like, there's not, that doesn't work for me either because of the fact that you're still not.
But it, just imagine a little girl with like a Jodie Foster haircut that had to wear a skirt every day.
Sure.
But this person,
what else do you call that?
That's super Butch because of that situation. And also like Butch can be so many different things.
That's
like,
true.
My fiance and I, Cameron Esposito, my fiance,
we
just put
Cameron.
Out a, yeah, she's great. I love her too.
We that just works out.
It does work out great.
Yeah.
We just put out a calendar called Butch Ups, which is just like photos of us in menswear, basically.
That's great.
And like, we're two completely different kinds of Butch,
yeah.
you know, and it can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. That's a good
And it's
point.
A good thing. Like,
yeah.
'cause early on in my like, out gayness, I did not want to be considered Butch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just like, and it's like this kind of internalized homophobia or like internalized like sexism. It's so many misogyny, all these things at the
well,
same
yeah,
time.
I mean, I think,
like,
if things become that, that's a potential other kind of fork in the road, right? Is that yes. sort of whatever it was that you were subjected to overtly or implicitly that was uncomfortable for you. Some people lean so hard into that in a very like, fuck you, I'm going to take this back kind of way. And some people hold on to it. And that's also completely understandable.
Sure.
You know, if you're identifying it with something that felt other, made you feel other, you know,
yeah.
and what you're more interested in is being, feeling more inclusive or feeling like, you know, I don't know. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
What, so when you were in high school, did you kiss anyone? Did you have,
I sent you like a prom photo.
I could not love that more. It is the best awkward.
Yeah. And
there's
a great
guys, I'll post it on Facebook if I don't actually use it as the main photo for Unnerdist, but it is the sort of classic like sliver
Harvest
of a
moon,
crescent
I
moon.
Think.
Yeah, sliver of a moon that Rhea's sitting on, and then there's like the dorkiest, bless his heart.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he's great. It's just
oh, he's
high
great.
School.
I just was
school.
At a, he was my date to Amazing. My best friend's wedding 2 weeks ago.
Amazing.
And we were both wearing suits. I
That's
could send
great.
You photos.
That's great.
Or I should just show you photos of us like
yeah.
together at that wedding.
There's a sense, I guess in the picture, what I mean is there's a sense for me immediate, and I don't know if I projected it on there, but to me there seemed an immediate sense of both of you being like, get a load
yeah.
of this. This is weird, huh?
yeah.
Like, look at us on this weird
this
sliver
is weird.
Of a moon.
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had, that was like my first boyfriend, first mm-hmm. dating experience. And we dated for like 2 years in
oh, wow.
high school. And
okay.
we had been friends. We were the, also part of the reason why it was so weird is we were both skateboarders. Like
mm-hmm.
in high school, I went from really into organized sports like basketball, volleyball. And I really wanted to play baseball, but you can't really as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Was there a softball team or no?
No, there
That's
wasn't
bad,
a softball team.
Yeah.
And I also, I played softball one summer and I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
I just was like, I really want to be playing baseball. It's a
yeah.
different game.
Fair, fair.
And then I just rejected sports altogether because I was like super punk rock and,
uh-huh.
you know, skateboarding and no jocks or whatever.
Sure.
In high school. So we were like two skateboarders and also from like a bad neighborhood compared to most of the people I was going to school with. So there was like all of that was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just such a weird thing to be. I wore a sweater to like homecoming.
Great. Great. But you went
I
to
had
homecoming.
A farmer's stand. Yeah. That was homecoming. I think.
That was homecoming.
Cause
I didn't even go
moon,
like, I didn't even
yeah.
know. I couldn't tell other than prom, which I went to
Me too.
Like, with like my prom dress and combat
like,
boots because
I
thought I was yeah. pretty in pink or whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you a single dance that occurred
yeah.
at my school. I had no sense of any of that
going
on.
I only went senior year because I was
yeah.
like, I kind of feel like I'm going to maybe be bummed that I didn't have this experience
yeah.
at least once.
Yeah, yeah.
And I should just do it my senior year to
yeah.
have fun.
Did When you came into high school, and of course, everything revolves around me, so I'm
yes.
just thinking about my own kind of transformation from one thing to the next. How did that evolution into punk happen for you? Did it happen during high school? And was it just like, well, what if I do this? Well, that
yeah.
worked out okay. I've always liked this. What if I did this? What if I wore this today?
Right.
Or what if I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that's kind of a broad question to ask, but.
No, I mean, it makes sense. Well, because at my elementary school, it was a Catholic school, but you didn't have to be Catholic to go there. And then it was all girls. So we had to wear uniforms every day, which were skirts, which now they're allowed to wear pants. And I am so angry that like the girls
yeah.
today
yeah.
can wear pants to that school.
Yeah.
But,
I would have hated that.
Oh,
I mean,
it was
I
so terrible.
I hated to wear a skirt. Like
I hated
that.
It so much.
I remember seeing girls who went to private school and being like, I cannot imagine having a uniform like that
yeah.
imposed
I mean,
on me.
Looking back, I'm glad I didn't have to buy clothes, like just clothes, because I think given that I was from this, and I didn't know at the time, like
that
you,
is
you
interesting,
don't really
isn't
know
it, that
when
you
you're
get,
a kid.
You kept getting put into this sort of like, let's line the ducks up in a row and
yeah.
then let's see the one who's sort of standing
let's
out.
See, find the weirdo.
That, how ill-fitting can it
so
be
many.
From inside the inside out? You
yeah,
know?
For sure. I mean, it definitely made it easier, I think, to be in school because I didn't have to keep up with anything,
yeah.
you know, like shoes and fanny packs. Like they let us wear fanny packs to carry pencils around. That was like how you showed
mm-hmm.
yourself or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which was just enough. But then I weirdly was homeschooled for 1 year in seventh grade,
uh-huh.
Essentially because I couldn't get into any schools, any
oh,
Catholic
wow.
schools. And then it was
God, they
it's
were,
a very confusing time.
Your parents were so sure that they wanted you to
well,
be
was
in
my mom
like
wanted
yeah.
me in that area at the time, like the only good schools
it was a bad
were
neighborhood.
Yeah,
yeah,
private schools. Like
okay.
she, both my parents had grown up in the same neighborhood as me and they didn't, neither of them Well, my dad didn't really have much to do with my school choices, but my mom didn't want me to go to any of the schools there just because she had had a bad experience and didn't want me to go there. And so then, you know, you can't just go to whatever public school you want to go to. So it was at the time.
So she was like, the only other option were
Catholic schools. And so the school that I was going to transfer to go to middle school was a parochial school. So you had to be. So I was baptized Catholic to go to the school for 1 year.
Classic.
And now, guess what? You can just go to that school. You don't have to be baptized. So thank God. Thank God I got baptized.
Yeah.
So I was homeschooled for a year. And then, played. It was weird. I mean,
do you have brothers and sisters?
Nope. It was just me. Yeah. And then eventually, like,
your parents still together?
No,
they were.
They've been divorced the whole time.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right away.
But he still lived in Akron too. He did.
So I had like visitation and stuff. But
just your mom and you.
Just my mom.
When I think about the brief period,
I grew up with
yeah.
my grandparents in okay. their house. So I had like a three person parental unit.
Yeah.
And like, eventually my mom had to get a job. So I just like was teaching myself, which meant.
Interesting.
USA was playing a lot of movies in the mornings. And so I spent a lot of time, like, I basically got like a film education.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I got into skateboarding is because they played Gleaming the Cube.
Amazing.
And I was like, oh yeah, skateboarding is cool. Because
I
had liked it when I was
love that it came from
like
Gleaming
six
the Cube.
Because I loved Back to the Future and I had a skateboard then. And then I just didn't, it just didn't take off with me. I was like more into my bike and stuff like that. And then I was like, oh yeah, I do like this.
Yeah.
And then I got deep into skateboarding because
of
that movie getting replayed
on
USA.
You. I can just imagine. Like if I saw you skateboarding around the neighborhood, so would you like wear your uniform and then sort of go home and
immediately tear it off and change? Cause we would also wear Umbros underneath. Like
I don't know what that is.
They're little soccer shorts that were really popular. They're coming back around again.
Oh,
soccer shorts that were popular in the 90s. When you went out for recess, if you wanted to play on the monkey bars or anything where you're hanging upside down, you had to be wearing shorts or else you'd be sent back into school or whatever.
Right.
So I was like, fine. Yeah. Like it
this
was basically
moment.
Like my never nude. You know? Like I got to have these shorts on underneath and I was like, this feels so much better.
Yeah. Oh God.
And so I would
amazing.
Just like take that skirt off immediately and then just get in the car and go home.
Yeah. Would you? And so you were skateboarding after school, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like and on weekends and stuff. That's like a thing you, I don't know many skateboarders who like skaters as I know them. I don't know many skaters who didn't just do it all the time.
Oh yeah. You just
you have
do it
to
all the time.
Kind of, or it's not fun and you can't get good at it. So that is like a real,
and it's a social thing. Mm-hmm. It's like people who, you know, for a while I used to play like pickup basketball in my neighborhood and like that was how we hung out with each other. And then you just find these like new things to hang out with each other.
Was that you and a bunch of boys?
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
Same with skating.
Same with skateboarding. Yeah.
What, it was a bad neighborhood. Do you have like a place that you would go and like try?
Yeah, there
to do
was a high school
and,
that we would go to, and it was like really open, so you wouldn't like get stuck in a place where somebody could like. Not that this happened often, but it did happen one time, and it was very scary that my friend and I got like, I wouldn't say mugged because it was by other kids, so we just got like beat up or whatever, and had our stuff taken from us.
What, they beat you up?
They beat my friend up. They didn't beat me up because I was a girl, so they didn't beat me up.
Well,
they punched him a bunch
off.
Of times, and they took his money. They tried
to
steal.
While they,
I did. Well, I froze. I like didn't know what to do.
I can't imagine.
And it was there were like four kids.
Ugh.
They were like bigger than us, and yeah, it was scary.
I have like a fear when I think what did just flash to when you said that was I'm like afraid. I'm equally afraid of two scenarios. As I guess imagining myself as a kid on a skateboard. Number one is that I would freeze and not do anything, and number two is that I would snap and. Hit someone in the face
with a skateboard.
Hit someone
with a skateboard, yeah.
Which
you could,
obviously
like,
is kill way worse.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But like I have that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I feel I have the capacity with adrenaline. It's
absolutely
really like it's
fight or flight.
Very extreme, right?
Yeah.
And it's not. It's I'm not always flight, and I'm not always fight, as I'm sure is true for all of us. And I do. I've said before, like I don't consider myself a temperamental person, and I don't have a lot of blowups, and there's not much stuff that like I get really angry about. But in some brief times when for whatever reason I've been furious, I mean I totally have thought to myself afterwards, like I'm so glad I didn't have a weapon.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I'm not sure what I would have done. I don't really understand crimes of passion.
I've like blown up at strangers for leaving gate open at the dog park. Just because like my dog was very close to the, you know, like you should know better. Like absolutely. I totally know what you mean. Cause the adrenaline just goes and you are like protecting either yourself or something that you're perceiving as important. And then you just like fly.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm very sorry that that happened.
And
at what point in this, this stuff does it start to feel like as much as it can for a gay young woman to like organically write for you to start sort of dating this friend of yours that was also a skateboarder?
That I think I was 16 when we started dating. Mm-hmm. He was like 2 years. He is 2 years younger than me. Doesn't change. Uh-huh. Doesn't eventually become.
No, hold on.
No, you're the same age now.
Okay.
I can't remember. We were just around each other all the time.
Yeah.
And
did
so,
he?
And I liked
initiate
him.
It? Yeah.
I think I did.
Well, that's. I talked about that with Cameron too, and other people as well on the podcast, which is like I don't. The sort of for some people it's like I couldn't even be touched by someone of the opposite sex,
right?
And for some people it's like it was fun kissing him. It was fun kissing someone that I liked.
Right.
It wasn't like I can't wait to have sex or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And for some people it was like well let's have sex and then
I was definitely like
later
that
on
camp.
It became more clear like well I like having sex with this kind of person better or you know
I think a bit of me was overemphasizing that trying to date not necessarily like. Oh, I really wanted to date him. It was more like, oh, I just really want to date.
Yeah.
Because, no, I'm not. I swear to God, I'm not. You know, like, there's a bit of that because of the time.
Did you have girlfriends that you had crushes on at school?
Yeah, the whole time. But I just didn't realize what it was, you know? Like, I would just always deny it. People would, like, give me a hard time about it. And I'd be like, no, I'm just really good friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
Did you ever, and have you since... talk to anyone who also came out, you know what I mean? Like, is there, did you now looking back, did you have suspicions that somebody else might've been, but not expressed it in the same kind of way that you were?
You know, what's funny is
there must've been gay girls there.
What's funny at my high school, I don't know of any women that I went to high school with that have since come out.
Hmm.
None.
Wow.
Zero. Men, however, they were boys, that were like, in the way that they could be in Catholic school out.
Yeah.
They were not like necessarily being like, hey, everybody, I'm gay. But they were not saying like, I'm not gay.
Hmm.
And also they were not hiding who they were. Like I had this good friend that was so funny. He
and
actually
this is just like the brother school to whatever school.
No,
you
like
to,
it, was, or it was. Oh, my high school was right. Co-ed.
Oh, it was co-ed.
It was
okay,
Catholic
okay, okay,
and co-ed.
Okay.
Sorry,
I think
about
I confused
that.
Myself.
I think I just didn't. Say
I'm so,
and that's my fault.
Nifty. I need to start this episode over again. Let's back it up at the beginning.
Let's start over again. Take it from the
haircut.
Top.
Oh.
But this kid, like, he did stand up for our talent show. He did like impressions of the brothers because a bunch of the brothers were like vice principals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the wardens of the high school. And he used to dress like Oscar Wilde every day.
Oh,
like he would,
because
we had a dress code. And so he would dress up like every day, like wear a suit, like an ascot. And he had a cane and gloves that he would wear.
Mm-hmm.
And he like, because it was the late 90s. So people were starting, you know, like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was like a thing.
Yeah.
But it still was like, you weren't necessarily out and proud in Akron, Ohio at a Catholic school because like we were also actively being taught in religion class, like, well, the Catholic Church believes that being gay is intrinsically violent.
Right.
So it was, we were all like walking this weird line, but they were definitely way more out than I was because I was still completely in denial at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I haven't, it's funny that you bring that up. I hadn't really thought about it because they're all out, you know, there were, like at least three or four other guys that I knew that have since come out or came out in high school and were just younger than me and I was gone. But I don't know any women that I went to. I'm sure that there are.
Yeah.
I just don't know them.
When did you come out?
Well, it was a two-parter.
Uh-huh.
I like official. Well, it's actually a three-parter. Fully, completely out to everyone that was important to me at 28.
Mm-hmm.
Out to almost everyone, which is basically just not my dad, at 22.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time when I realized fully 100% that I was gay and came out to someone, I was 19.
Okay. What was that experience like? What was the 19 one?
The 19-year-old was to a friend who I also had like feelings for, who was 7 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
That I had become friends with when I was 16. So not great.
How did you meet?
We met through skateboarding.
Okay.
And so I realize now, like looking back on it, like that wasn't so great because he was 23 and I was 16, like probably not a great thing. But I went skateboarding to this like skate park in my town, and for the first time there was another woman there, and it just didn't occur very often. Yeah. And it was a woman that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Cause I knew the other two women that I'd seen skateboarding at that time. And, I saw her and I was like, this is crazy. And then there's a guy there and he was mutual friends with both of us, and he came over and was, and I just remember having this like weird physical reaction to it of like nerves, but not scary and not just like adrenaline, but not in a scared way.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you see that girl over there? I was like, oh yeah. He's like, she thinks you're super cute. And I had never thought about that. And it just like hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, wow. Oh, a woman thinks I'm cute. And I just, in that moment, and I wasn't like, we didn't, I think he actually was making it up, which is totally fine.
Cause
we ended up being friends and stuff, but she dated men. Like she wasn't a lesbian or anything, but, I'm glad that he did because it helped me out a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think he was trying to make me feel weird or anything. Yeah. I just think he thought it would be fun.
Yeah.
He said that, and I'm grateful that he said it.
Real quick. But what about, so did you have, because you were talking about like, and listen, I'm not saying USA Network is the place to see gay characters in film, but did you see characters? Because like, I know for sure that's like where I that's what I sort of remember, and Jodie Foster is actually a great example of, because I love this movie called The Hotel New Hampshire. I don't know if you've
seen
it, but she sleeps with Natasha, whatever her name is. Why can't I remember her name?
Not Leone. Not Leone. That's not the great time.
It's like she was like straight, she had an accent and stuff. She's very sort of sexy, smoldering. She was also in Cat People. It's like Nastasha something. Nastasha Kinski. So she sleeps with her. She sleeps with everyone in that movie. She sleeps with standard. Yeah, a very standard. Well, no, I think first she's gang raped. Then then she dates. Then she has like a weird obsession with the main guy, Matthew Modine, who I think orchestrated that rape. There's like weird complicated feelings that she has for him. And then she for sure sleeps with Natasha Kinski. I can't remember if there's anyone between there. And then eventually she ends up sleeping with her own brother, played by Rob Lowe.
Right.
And that's an example of a movie where I was just like, what? Oh my God, this is amazing.
What's happening here?
Yeah, I was obsessed with it. But that was like a way in for me to go like, it doesn't always work one way kind of thing.
Well, I do remember like Joe from The Facts of Life being really important very early on. That's what I'm like.
Yeah.
Because even the way her and Blair, like they were totally in love with each other.
Yeah.
You know, like they, both those actresses are like, no. It's like, but you guys were, that's what you were tapping into, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
Like, that's
a great point. God, I haven't thought about Facts of Life in a long time.
But she was very,
and you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. God, that's so funny. I would love to go back and watch that show with that mindset now.
I'm sure that, Janet, I guarantee you there's plenty of YouTube cuts of them interacting with each other.
Just the gayest parts of Blair and Joe on The Facts of Life.
I'm a big
horrific
Blair and Joe shipper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wonder who ships Mrs. G, like Joe and Mrs. G, everybody.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. But so that happened. And then this guy,
Joe ostensibly had a boyfriend who was also,
that's
so
course
similar. It's like she liked motorcycles. So she was with the motorcycle guy, even though really it was just more, she was like him rather than wanting to be with him.
Just want to be like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all the like hunky boys that I had crushes on and like Tiger Beat posters of, like Ryder Strong and Thomasine Nicholas, like I wanted to be them.
Yes.
I didn't want to, or like Marty McFly, like I wanted to be Marty McFly.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, because I wanted to date Jennifer.
Right.
I didn't want to date Marty McFly.
Right.
I don't want to be Jennifer. I want to be Marty.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with Jennifer.
Of course. Of
That's
course.
A great character.
It just depends on who you identify
just depends
with.
On who you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then this friend, the other guy that was older than me, he had lived in California and was moving back. And so I flew out to drive home across the country with him to have that experience, which was cool because I'd never really left Ohio before that.
Mm-hmm.
Only been to like West Virginia and maybe Pittsburgh, you know, stuff that doesn't really count because it's only like a 4-hour drive. And, you know, got to see the country and possibility and all those things. And I just came out to him like in the trip. And I remember having this like very, again, physical reaction of like just my whole body, it was just everything at once, you know? And I had that same experience when I watched Ellen DeGeneres come out on her show. I remember being like, oh my God, this is me. And then I just like hid it away forever. Yeah. And then I came out to him, and then like a week later, after he had been in Ohio for a while, he came over and was like, you can't be gay. I moved back here to date you. And then I dated him for two or three years.
Yeah. Oh God.
Thanks for that Catholic education.
Yeah. I mean, I can't let down. I can't disappoint a man.
Yeah. I can't say no. I mean, the thing is also I was a child and he was older than me. And so there's all those complications there of power dynamic and just all of it of like, well, okay. I mean, you did, but you know, if it was now, I'd be like, sorry, shouldn't have made, you should have moved back for you, not for me.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. First of all, anything you want me to edit out, I totally will. And I don't know why I've never asked the question I'm about to ask before to anyone, much like, but of course I'm making it about, sexuality and sort of gender identity, but did you hunt yourself when you were in high school? And if were you fantasizing about women? Or did you allow yourself to fantasize? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting, right? To be in the place where like, you know, that's what's on your mind when you are like feeling sexual, but like you're not taking it to the level of, you know, but that doesn't mean like I'm gay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes you sympathetic for so many, you know, like husbands who consider themselves straight, who like having sex with men and sort of, I don't know what that means. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are if it's an extension of that, you don't ever have to suddenly decide, I guess, that you are one thing or another. Other than how it affects the secrets that you keep from someone and, you know, the secrets that you may or may not keep from yourself. But, it's interesting. Like, it seems, I think to somebody who didn't have those struggles, someone would be like, how could you do that? Or like, how did you not know? Or if this, then why not this, this, and this? And it's just not that simple.
No, it's none of it is that simple. Like you were saying, I mean, cause there are people, that think about same sex fantasies to be turned on, but they're like, but that's not what I want to do.
Sure.
And that doesn't make you gay. That just makes, that's what you're into and what you find attractive and stuff.
Yeah.
And also like, it just doesn't even matter. We're definitely moving to a point where it's like, hey, it doesn't matter what you think about. It's like who you are.
Yeah.
But the step in between those two things that I think we sometimes miss as like a culture is, hey, let's think and be open about it.
Right.
Like we don't have to go like from the place where I was a kid when I was like, well, no, I'm not this, that I'm not that.
Yeah.
To like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like there's a step in between there of being like, huh, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. God, I feel like I was talking to someone about this. I can't even, with this, we could go down this rabbit hole and then just be talking for another hour, but I feel like I can't remember if it was on the podcast or if it was just in life, but because I like to have big, important conversations, whether or not I'm being recorded.
Sure.
That's just, I'm a very deep person. I'll just save it for the podcast.
No.
But I was talking about with someone, this idea of kink and what sex will look like and whether the same fetishes will exist if we're all more open about it.
Right.
And I don't mean that that's a good or bad thing. You know, part of me is kind of sad about that idea, but I just wonder if nothing is like not okay. Like if nothing is verboten, I wonder if, cause for some people, the appeal of something becomes the sort of like, for whatever it's connected to, whether it's something from childhood or it's not,
right,
this idea of, you know, if there's something about it that's like, it's my secret and I only want to share it with other people who feel the same way. If everything is sort of out and about and it's like, and everyone at any given time can be like, oh, I'm super into S&M or like, I'm super, you know what I mean? I love being pissed on.
Yeah.
Like, I just wonder if it's how that will change the landscape of kink, of anything outside the norm. If everything becomes norm,
right,
how does that change things?
And will there be some other
thing that, you know, obviously I don't approve of it harming anyone, like if I, you know, I don't want it to be like, well, but
it has to be consenting adults
exactly
who are agreeing on what they're entering
into. Just makes me wonder. I mean, I don't have an answer, and there is no right or wrong answer. I'm just kind of really curious.
No, it is fascinating
because we are so, you know,
because I would have almost like a parallel similar conversation, I feel, about like queer people of like, well, if everybody's so open about everything, because sometimes like going back to the Butch calendar thing, like we just said like, hey, we wanted to make a Butch calendar that's like, hey, look at how hot Butch can be. And some people are responding with like, Butch isn't a sexual oriented, like, and number one, we didn't say that. Right. Number two, what's going on for you that it offends you that somebody's even using that? What, you know, like,
yeah,
it does worry me that, like, we get so open that even having an identity is somehow offensive or troubling to somebody else.
Mm, interesting. Yeah.
But then to bring that back to the kink thing, like, I think it just means we become more sexually specialized as a culture where, like, because kink is now, like, becoming so many different things. Like, it's not just, like, weird things. It's just specific, you know, quote unquote weird things, because no offense to anyone.
Sure, sure.
I don't think anybody's kink is weird.
Yeah.
That's your kink most, and enjoy
by
it.
By the most boring of terms, what sure. becomes weird. Yeah. Yeah.
And by weird, I just mean different.
Yeah.
Because, like, to me, weird is, like, a great word, but I
know.
Find
I,
myself.
I know. I To me, that's, like, a compliment.
Yeah.
But
I say that
you.
As a compliment. Like, yeah. Cameron, I'm like, you're so weird. And she's yeah. like, that's mean. And I'm like, but that's not what I meant yeah. at all. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
To me, I love being
I
called weird.
I feel exactly the same way.
Because that means I'm thinking differently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just think, like, I don't think kink will ever go away, because I think it was on Dan Savage's podcast. Somebody was saying how kink is like an evolutionary tactic to, like, finding partners so that you can reproduce, you know?
Interesting.
Like, and so I just think our brains are evolving in a way that is more open, hopefully open-minded brains. And then we just find more things
mm-hmm.
to be
well,
kinky
it's sort
about.
Of like, I mean, it really is sort of, it's not unlike Comic-Con, where you have this really specific example of how specialized mm-hmm. your enthusiasms can become in a shared environment.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Right.
And that community is so much more accessible than it ever was, you
yeah.
know, that you would, I feel like people would go to Doctor Who conventions who probably were, like, way more into Star Trek or
sure.
like, you know, Dark
yeah.
Shadows, but at least it's like a community of people who, you know, are impassioned about the same kind of stuff that you are.
Yeah, exactly.
So it can happen in sex and outside of sex for sure.
And at the same time, like, Comic-Con is also, you know, like, oh, well, it's getting watered down now and there's too many people and it's gotten too big and everything. But at the same time, like, that many people are enjoying something that you like, it can't hurt you
mm-hmm.
for more people to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And with kink, like, there's always going to be people that don't like something.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll just learn as people to be like, yeah, I'm just not into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great that you are. Me not being into it has nothing to do with whether you should be or not.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm into. I'm into this. And
yeah.
then they're like, oh, you know what? I don't like that either. So I'll see you later.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe we can just, like, learn to communicate
sure.
what we're into with people.
Sure.
That's what I hope.
Well,
you know?
Ultimately,
I hope that it doesn't
yeah,
go
because
away.
You're ultimately, what you're just saying is, like, wouldn't it be amazing if there was just more mutual respect in
yeah,
general? Of,
basically.
Of all kinds. God, that would be so great. To be less for people to be less afraid of one another.
I know. Less terrified.
Yeah.
But then you could even argue, you know, a little bit in, like, the gay, I'm using gay as an umbrella term, but, like, LGBT community of, like, well, now we're getting so considerate of each other. What we used to be scary, you know, like, older gays are like, why do you guys want to get married? That's the whole point of being us, that we're
right.
not doing that. That
right.
we're not being that. And, like, I actually saw, like, a really great film at Dan Savage's Hump Fest, which
mm-hmm.
is, like, he shows homemade porn.
Great.
Which was super awesome and just a fun experience. I highly recommend you go, because, like, you cannot see the, they do not put the movies anywhere. If you have your phone out when you're there, they'll take your phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not give it back.
Yeah.
That's, like, how serious they are about respecting the people that made the thing. But one of the movies was, like, a sort of acted out documentary of a gay couple who are, like, in their 60s or 70s that met in San Francisco. It's the story of the night that they met, and they met at a glory hole.
Wow.
And I was like, this is something that everybody needs to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that something that, you know, if you put that out on the internet, Donald Trump is going to be like, this is abhorrent.
This is what's,
you know,
wrong with America.
So many people
this
that would be like, that's
going down the
disgusting.
Right,
but
right.
And then there's a bunch of people that's like, no, it's great. But there's the people in the middle that you could be like, hey, look at this. They found love this way.
Yeah.
Why would you judge that?
Yeah.
And this is just specific to this community, kind
yeah.
of, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. Like,
yeah.
it maybe not for you, but you can also just appreciate that
sure.
part of it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I love that. Yeah. I love that. I really think the world of Dan Savage. I think that's a
yeah.
that's a great
He's done
example
a lot
of somebody
work.
Who's yeah, who's really picked up a lot of slack
yeah.
from a lot of people who aren't
yeah.
who weren't coming to the table as early as he was.
For sure. He may not be perfect. He
yeah.
does do some things wrong, but yeah. he's done a lot of work for yeah. the gay community.
Absolutely. I can't believe how this is flown by.
How long have we been talking?
Like an hour.
5 minutes?
I know.
That felt like nothing.
I know.
And we didn't even really get to talk about high school that much. I'm sorry.
I mean, well, here's what I do feel like. Here's what I wanted to ask. Well, because I feel I have a pretty strong sense of like what you were doing with your time. Yeah. And but
I definitely was not doing homework.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Were you a good student?
No. I was very early on, and then yeah. I learned how to game the system, mm-hmm. you know? And I was just thinking the other day.
Even at a private school where ostensibly yeah. you should be able to do that less, I guess, nope. according to
I
some. Just,
I was like charming, I think, mm-hmm. which is very weird. But like I kind of approached high school the same way I eventually approached my terrible office job of just like, I do not want to be here,
yeah.
but I'm here because I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. I don't want to be here at all.
Yeah.
And I would just get as many sick days as I possibly could.
Yeah, I hear that. But so were you getting C's? Were you charming
yeah.
enough?
I mean, I got like B's yeah. in some stuff. Like mm-hmm. I really liked science and art classes,
mm-hmm.
super into art classes, which I then went to college in my hometown for art.
Yeah. What kind of art were you doing? Illustrating or
printmaking?
Okay.
So it was like, and I was doing a lot of painting and photography.
That's great.
Which is why my Instagram is so good.
I mean, sometimes education does pay off, guys.
It really does.
What, would you combine those things and yeah. be out with a skateboarding also and like be snapping pictures or
yeah,
I'm turning you into a movie?
No, yeah. I did all those things and then like skateboarding influenced the way I made art. And then eventually like in college, I quit skateboarding because I was afraid I was going to get hurt. Like I was going to come out here
mm-hmm.
and really go for it mm-hmm. and like be a professional skateboarder. But I just didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was scared and I stayed there and really like dug into art and mm-hmm. that's what I was going to do. I thought I was going to be an art professor.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went for master's and was like, I don't want to do this. Because then you're basically in college for the rest of your
yeah.
life and I didn't
yeah.
want to be in college forever.
Fair.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely like was incorporating that sort of street because now all the famous artists out here, they're all skateboarders.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the skateboarders that I was like watching and looking up to when I was skateboarding.
Yeah.
Like Ed Templeton and other like I can't think of his name, but anyway, like he's really big right now in the yeah. art world, and he was like one of my favorite skateboarders when I was skateboarding, so I was just kind of emulating them, like
yeah.
taking photos and illustrating things and printing.
I mean, you here yeah so here's what I would say is in terms of how you were seen by people at school by mm-hmm. the time you were, say, a junior in high school, just to
yeah.
use that as sort of like, by then we've all kind of gotten to a certain point maybe,
yep.
But we're not like top of the heap yet,
sure.
you know, being a senior. Did people at school think you were cool?
I don't know.
Did you think you were cool? Or did you think that you were one thing when you were at school, and then did you start to feel cool when you were like out of there?
It's
like,
that
okay,
one.
This is, yeah.
I kind of feel like I was a non-entity at school. And then when I went home, that was where my life was.
Because mm-hmm.
I had like a little crew of friends at school that I hung out with, but we didn't really hang out outside of school. I didn't hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
They hung out with each other. And that wasn't really a problem. It wasn't like a popularity thing. I just was spending all my time skateboarding.
Yeah. If you feel like you have a community somewhere else,
yeah.
it's not like it's this glaring absence, you know,
yeah.
from school.
And the weird like Catholic private school aspect of it is nobody lived by each other
mm.
because it wasn't organized by mm-hmm. area.
Yeah,
like it wasn't easy to maintain those friendships, at least until you were a junior or senior, and by then you'd already made the friendships that you were going to make in
right.
high school. And so I wasn't like a dork, and I wasn't necessarily like a burnout, but I wasn't popular and I wasn't a jock,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know what I was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, I was, when I was listening to Serial, that podcast that where they were like, yeah, everybody just knew he was the guy to go to. Like he was like the bad kid or whatever. I was like, huh, who was that at high school?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, oh God, I think it might've been me, which is not necessarily that I was like such a terrible kid,
yeah.
but I was into, you know, I was like drinking in high school mm-hmm. and I smoked cigarettes and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
but I was just from a bad part of town, you know,
yeah.
and like didn't care about school.
Yeah.
And it more is about my school of like what would be considered bad,
yeah.
you know, like, oh, you're into weird stuff. You're bad. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Hopefully no one ever thought maybe you murdered someone.
No, hopefully
it's
not.
A terrible thing to joke about. That was such a fine line is the dealing
of
with that podcast
show.
And wanting to make jokes about it and stuff. Cause
you're like, oh, it's real.
I was so fixate. I couldn't stop thinking about how real it was, which is why I was so obsessed by it.
Yeah.
With it. But yeah, that was an interesting time. I've talked about it on the podcast all the time. Like I couldn't, I found out things about myself through that podcast that I did not know. You know what I mean? About
it really
that sort
pulled
of like chomping down on the bone of a mystery and feeling like sucked in so fast and very bothered by it. Oh, not bothered by being sucked in, but very bothered by what happened and very intensely bothered as Sarah Koenig allowed us to be by sharing her frustration with like not
all
being able to see inside someone's brain. Yeah. It really triggers so much control shit, I think, for so many
and
of
like
us.
And like what it is to be humans in the world.
And what and like we were talking about before, what are you capable of at the in a snap?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And also for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
Are you a person that is keeping up a lie for this long, or are you a person that is maintaining your innocence? You know, like both require being a human being.
Yeah.
You know, like no other animal on this planet can do either of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like so
absolutely.
Weird to be a human being.
And I think so many, it's extremely weird. And it's extremely weird to, be this social creature where we can even be having a conversation about what sex means and does kink have something to do with reproduction, or are we just to the point now where so many of our species has evolved past the desire or the link between maybe some of us are still more closely linked to reproduction and sex, and maybe some of us have evolved, and I'm not saying that we're all destined to evolve past it, but for lack of a better word, to have evolved past identifying sex and reproduction. Like there's no other animal really like that. I mean, we can get into the whole bonobo conversation, but whatever. It's still kind of a long leap. How complicated and how
so complicated
to trust, right? I mean, that's also the other thing that I tapped into is this kind of, I think people, even people who are very trusting, still have some sort of innate, potentially evolutionary worry that you're trusting the wrong person.
Or
you're trusting in an idea or a system that is fundamentally corrupt, but you can't see the inner workings of it.
For sure.
But, I just gave myself the chills. All right, let's come out of this with a nice old-fashioned game of MASH. I'm going to start out with three activities. This is spinning off of the skateboarding thing.
Sure.
Three activities that you wish you could do. I'm going to ground these to like actually realistic activities rather than like superhero activities.
Yes.
But three activities that you wish you could do with no real physical threat that you could just do when you wanted to and do well that you can't do now for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely put skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Can I dip into the ones that we've already discussed?
Especially if I'm inspired by that. I was like, I'm going to give her the chance to be a skateboarder.
Because I like wish I could do it all the time, but my knees are can't. Like my brain thinks I can still do it, but my body's like, we're not doing that anymore.
Don't blame you.
And then I would say, like, I wish that I could pitch a baseball with accuracy and consistency is the word I was looking for. And then a third physical activity that I wish I could do, you know what, I wish I could rock climb.
Me too.
I've never done it.
I'm getting really close to actually taking classes and stuff. I've been getting into hikes that are so scrabbly that I have to wear bite gloves because otherwise I puncture my palms because I'm that much like clutching on things I shouldn't. But that is like around the corner from this might not be, like, I never thought I was an athletic thrill seeker, but now when I sort of look at my choices, I'm like, I think I really must be because I seem to like taking myself to a place of discomfort
and then
backing off of it, you know, and then that sort of, that next thing is like the thing that's like on a hike where something feels treacherous or it feels like this rock is really loose or whatever. The thing that makes me the most uncomfortable in that moment then becomes the next standard. Like the next hike I have, I find myself seeking that out plus.
Right.
And then that plus, which is why I'm like, I think I might be about to start rock climbing, but I'm kind of terrified that I'm headed down that road.
Oh boy.
Or up that cliffside.
Yeah.
Okay. Rock climbing. I love it.
Into it.
I'm right there with you. Okay. Next one is three movies that you can jump into. The characters, the whole environment is real and you can just bask in that, whatever that would look like for you.
Well, Back to the Future. I have to do that one.
Yep.
That's so funny because I was just thinking, like, what are the five movies that you could watch, that I could watch all the time?
Yeah.
And these are the three that are coming to my mind now. Back to the Future, Stand By Me.
Yeah.
And A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought of that and asking myself that question because I watched Whiplash again on the plane. I've seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
I saw it once and I thought, I don't know if I'll be able to see this again.
I like loved that
it's
movie.
Wonderful. I certainly so don't mean that it's yeah. not good, but sure. it was very it's stressful. Intense. Yeah. yeah. Like it was the kind of movie where I was so into it that I needed a massage yeah. afterwards.
No, I get it.
Been tight the entire time.
Yeah. I get
but
it.
But it's marvelous.
Yeah. I mean, and that's great. Also one of those movies that I feel like I'll just continue to watch that movie for a long
yeah.
time.
Well, anyway. It definitely is because that intensity, it sort of grabs you and won't let go.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I feel like if it were on, even if I was like, why am I watching this again? Like, yeah. I can't tear my eyes away.
Yeah.
Okay. Three foods or drinks or substances that you can partake in whenever you want without any ramifications
okay.
whatsoever.
Oh, man.
So it can be as simple as like, you know, pizza or
sure.
as complicated as like a very specific, I don't know what.
Yeah. I would say cheese pizza, definitely, yeah. for sure. Because that is like my absolute favorite food. Mm-hmm. And then I would also say no ramifications.
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah, zero.
Then Mountain Dew.
I love it.
God, I miss it.
Wonderful use.
I miss
of this
it
category.
So hard.
A
you know?
Wonderful use.
I miss yeah. it so much.
Yeah.
And I'm even like a sober, like I don't drink anymore. Like mm-hmm. I gave up drinking. I wouldn't even put booze on the list
yeah.
if I could have Mountain Dew with
yeah.
no ramifications.
Yep.
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. That's how yeah. much I miss it. And then the third one would have to be probably, this is so telling of how like trashy I am because I'm thinking of like candy. Yeah. I guess what's my favorite thing that I eat? That I always want to eat, but I don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, it's my last
one. Or something
one.
That you let yourself have once
sure.
in a while. You know, it doesn't have to be so trashy that you never partake of it. But
right.
when you do eat it, you're like, God, this why is, can't I just eat this?
Why can't I just have this all the time?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to get real specific on this one. It's actually not going to be trashy. All it's right. going to be a chocolate banana milkshake from Tommy's Restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's
on
great.
Coventry Road.
Ugh.
It is so good. It's the best milkshake I've ever had. Chocolate banana.
God,
sometimes
really
add a little peanut
right
butter
now.
In there, maybe, if
yeah.
I'm feeling
oh,
the peanut
definitely.
Butter kick, but I prefer
be, yeah.
chocolate banana.
The purity. Amazing. yeah. What amazing. All right, listen. All due respect to the amazing Cameron Esposito.
Yes.
Three ladies that you would like to spend in this alternate universe
sure.
from any era, any age.
Yeah.
Some sexy times with?
Some sexy times with?
Or your alternate universe, like, companion or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Three.
I would love to have, like, a long conversation mm-hmm. with Kristen Stewart.
Okay,
I'd
great.
Love to know what's going on with that gal.
Great, great, great.
And then let's see. I do think that I have, like a weird mentoring crush on Jodie Foster, so I got to put her on there.
I do, too.
And then
it was way beyond that though. When I was younger,
I would now here is a curveball. I'm going to put in 70s Linda Ronstadt.
Great.
Ronstadt.
Yep. Let me just take it full circle to, people from Akron and say mm-hmm. that I have a special place in my heart for Linda Ronstadt because she too is from Tucson.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Linda, love it.
I didn't know she was from Tucson.
She was in, right around that time, right? Or like early 80s. She was in the Pirates of Penzance movie.
Yeah.
That Kevin Kline and Angela Lansbury are also
yes.
in. So I for sure was like, and I love Linda Ronstadt with all my heart and soul.
She's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great.
And she
great.
Sings back up on, After the Gold Rush, sings on, Heart of Gold with mm-hmm. Neil Young. So
yeah.
They have such a great harmony together.
She sings on, Paul Simon's Graceland.
Yeah.
Yeah. She gets around.
Yeah.
Mm. In a good way.
In a good way.
Great, great, great. Okay, three types of transportation. It can include a specific car or a specific, like if you want to go with more conventional modes of transportation, mm-hmm. it can be like dream car or ways of transporting yourself that are more fantastical than that.
Sure. Like what I would like to ride, basically.
Yeah, or like you could even teleport if you just
sure.
like wanted to not have to travel.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to use a transporter from Star Trek: The Next Generation,
yeah.
specifically that one.
Yep.
I would also absolutely love to ride a pit bull from Back to the Future Part 2.
Amazing.
And I would love to be able to ride like a steam engine from like 1900 or whenever.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just because, like, could you imagine what that would look like?
Oh, that's
awesome.
And
I mean the whole thing, like time travel back to that time period.
Yes, yes.
And get to ride a train before any of this existed.
Yeah, I love that.
That's how I would want to get around.
I love that. Boy, you really went Back to the Future 3 on me.
I really did.
Amazing. Okay, next category is three people. I mean, you sort of mentioned this with a Jodie Foster reference, but like three people that it would be awesome to have as, you know, your sort of buddy from any place or time where you're like, no, it's cool. Like, you know, so-and-so calls me and like wants to know what they should, you know, what they should do about this thing. And then I'm like, I also have a thing I want to talk to you about. And
yeah.
Like, you know, you feel that, that kind of great connection of respect.
Yeah. I would love for to be able to have just like an open-ended phone invitation with Claire Huxtable.
Amazing. God, great choice. Ugh.
Thank you.
That's great. I would be like, I already know what Claire's going to say. She's going to give me some tough love right now.
She knows what's up.
I need to hear it.
But I need to hear her voice.
Yeah.
She knows what's going on with me, but I just need that time from her.
It's great.
And she's so willing to give it, and I will give it to her.
It's great. It's
whatever
great.
She needs from me.
It's become I'm very real there. For me. So good luck with the next two, because suddenly that is like a real thing.
Sure. And then, man, it's hard to, I feel like I could take up the next two with these two people, but I could also make them one.
Mm-hmm.
I would also love to be able to call Thelma and Louise.
Oh yeah. We'll put them as a unit.
Okay,
for
great.
Sure. Because you don't really want one without the other.
No, you don't.
You want them to be able to have an argument on your behalf to each other that you're just also laughing about, too.
Yeah.
Where one of them's like, I think she should do this. And the other one's like, now, Thelma, why would you think that through? Yeah.
Thelma, why are you going off at the mouth again?
It'd be great.
Come on
It'd
now.
Be great.
Yeah.
I love it.
And
love
then
it.
My third one.
God, that makes me want Kathy Bates from Fried Green Tomatoes, too.
Right?
For like
Tawanda?
The same sort of reason.
And also Jessica Tandy from Fried Green Tomatoes. I mean, I've just put Fried Green Tomatoes out of it because I feel like that's just assumed. But right. I already have everybody from that movie on speed dial.
Tucked away. Sure, sure, sure.
And then
sure.
I think my third one would be Crash Davis from Bull Durham.
Great.
Because that guy knows everything.
Yeah. God, yeah. He was great.
That's a great movie.
That's his best character, I think.
It is, because it was right before he became Kevin Costner.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the three
that's
of them
a great character.
It's the three of them are
Tim
all
Robbins
brilliant characters
and
in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really
because Tim
great
Robbins
movie.
Is really knocking it out of the park.
Oh,
because
you so
like
good.
He's such an idiot that you're like you kind of pass it off, and sometimes we don't spend time with like, oh man, this person is really. Killing it being an idiot like they're really doing a great job.
Yes, absolutely. No, that is a great movie. For those of you who haven't seen it, I mean, I would say it's the best baseball movie.
It
I
is
mean,
the
I
best baseball movie.
Better baseball movie. It's
a League of Their Own is the only other
that's
good
a great
baseball
movie too. Great baseball movie. Absolutely.
But Bull Durham is like a movie that you can make it about anything.
Yeah,
you know, it's really just about doing something that you love,
mm-hmm.
like having something in your life that you love that is not a person, and having respect for that thing.
Yeah.
So like Cameron and I sat down to watch it and she was like, like not into it in 5 minutes or whatever. And I was like, look, just watch this. Like they're doing stand-up comedy. Like what they're talking about is stand-up. And then she had a much different experience.
That's a really, really great point. That's a great way of thinking about it.
Because it's just about mentoring, and it's also about the mentor, like, aging out of the thing and, like, finding happiness in something in a way that you didn't think you were going to find it.
Yeah.
It's so many things.
I love it.
That movie.
I love it. I think that's such a great one. Okay, Crash Davis. I absolutely love it. Okay, next one is three bands that you can see whenever you want, and you're always going to get backstage.
Mm.
And they could be a band that don't exist anymore. It could be someone who's died.
Yeah. Let's see. I definitely have to put Sleater-Kinney on there.
Great.
That's like one of my favorite bands of all time. And then I would put Fugazi on there.
Great.
One of my favorite bands of all time.
Great.
And then I think I would choose to be able to see like early Neil Young.
Great. I saw them. I saw Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young at the Bowl. A few years ago.
Yeah.
It was
good.
Great. You never, with stuff like that, sometimes you're like, is this going to actually like tarnish it for me or something?
Right.
Not at all.
It still works.
I felt like
that's
I was
great.
Seeing them in the 60s.
That's great.
Like, they rocked it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they really got people, like, a fuss. Do you know what I mean? It was like, they still were saying things, political things, that people were like, yes, I am enraged about that still. It was great.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't know why I was, like, a weird Homer Simpson fan just then. That really tapped into my Homer-esque.
That's awesome.
And then last one is... What glaring thing am I missing for you? I feel like there might be some glaring thing I'm missing. Well, because you said the steam engine and the opportunity to kind of ride in one like that, I'll give you three places to time travel.
Ooh.
Could be future, could be back.
Could be back to the future. Could be back to the future. I would love to... Where would I like to go? I would love to go back to... The date is escaping me now, but... I would love to go see the Brooklyn Dodgers game when Jackie Robinson stole home.
Oh, great, great, great. Great use of this. Great.
Then, I would want...
God, you're making me love baseball in a way I never have.
Yeah.
I, it's very infectious.
I love baseball so much.
Like, I mean, I certainly have no time for football whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't like football.
Baseball or like college basketball for me,
a
bit.
That's kind of where I'm at too.
Yeah.
Maybe not... I kind of like basketball, but baseball is a sport I can sit and watch all day.
Yeah.
I've just gotten back into it recently. It was what I grew up with, but...
I'm sure you've done Aaron Foley's podcast.
I have, yes. And we've talked about baseball a lot. I just love it so much. And then, man, this one's the tough one to like think of the good times to go to, just because I've been becoming so like socially aware that I'm like, yeah, but if you went back to see this, it's like, it's going to be terrible.
I know.
And also you just want to fix things, but
yeah.
So Jackie Robinson, and then I would probably want to go back to like, I don't know, Deadwood time.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Just to see, like,
God,
what...
I know I have such a curiosity about that. Those places and times that have been so fetishized, for lack of a better word, by you know, the arts in a way that is totally appealing and fascinating. But things like that, where it's become like, if I'm really honest, I kind of think Deadwood is actually just like the whole. I kind of think Buffalo Bill and Calamity Jane weren't real. And I know they were.
Yeah.
But I'm so oversaturated with them as characters that I would love to see them for real, because it would be such a good slap in the face of like, Janet, no, they were real.
Right.
They're not an invention.
Yeah. And could you imagine what the reality of those people would be like? Like what their teeth would look like.
Oh my God. If they even had any.
Yeah, exactly.
Their teeth, Janet. Their teeth.
Their teeth.
Yeah, for a similar reason. I mean, I guess not as much that it's turned into like just characters, but that same sort of idea of like, did that thing already come out that I saw a preview for that was about suffrage and like the fight of is it Kate Winslet? Someone's in it, maybe HBO film or something.
I feel like I saw a preview. Out yet, okay, but it's about the suffragettes in London.
Yeah, yes, there
like,
you go.
It's not American suffragettes.
That's the kind of thing that I feel like would be extremely infuriating, but like so important to see, to really see for yourself,
right?
Like, well, this is not that long ago.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Not that long
this
ago.
Is what it was like.
I feel like I would go there and see them and be like, this is absolutely terrible. And then you turn around and there are like Black people as servants everywhere, and you're like, right, it's all terrible.
Of course. You know? Absolutely, it's all terrible.
Because then you would have the 360 degree relative. View when
it's
you get there.
All relative. 100% yes.
Yeah.
No, absolutely, without question. I honestly was trying to think of something that I, some cause that like I wouldn't be so horrified by that I would somehow still choose to do it. Otherwise, I would have listed some horrible, despicable things that Americans have done.
I guess
in my mind, I was like, what is the white woman struggle? What can I do that doesn't make me want to kill myself?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
No, I totally know what you mean.
Okay, so you got
and
Brooklyn
then the
Dodgers,
one would
Deadwood.
Probably be, go, let's see, 14 years in the future, see myself at 47.
Great.
That's where Marty McFly wants to go. In the future.
That's great. Great, great, great. Okay. All right. So it's MASH, so I just need to do a little bit of calculating as soon as I get you to tell me when to stop.
Sure. Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this. do some number crunching.
Sounds good.
Get my abacus out. Yeah. And I'll come back with your 100% guaranteed match future. My friend, I've got some very good news for you in store. Number one. Oh, you know what? I didn't ask for a place where there's a vacation home. So basically what this is going to transform into is whatever movie you get to go into is also like the place where you have your mansion, apartment, shack, or house.
Perfect.
So I think you'll enjoy this.
Great.
You have a mansion inside of Back to the Future.
Yes!
Which probably, I guess, means that it's, you know, in the like 50s.
Yeah, in Hell Valley.
In Hell Valley.
And or Pasadena.
which is great. So you have a mansion in the world of Back to the Future. It surprises me none that you are also a master skateboarder.
Of course.
Because why wouldn't you
so
be?
Great.
Everyone's going to be like, what is she doing? What is she doing? All the time. And then they'll get used to it. With a lifetime supply with no physical ramifications whatsoever of cheese pizza.
Yes.
This is all
plain
like a
cheese
very,
pizza just
this
for
is
me.
A very, this is a great life coming together here.
It's so good.
You can see early Neil Young.
Yay.
Whenever you want.
Amazing.
He loves you. Can ride around in a steam engine when you're not skateboarding.
This is turning out so perfectly.
Amazing. Amazing. You get to see the Jackie Robinson Dodgers game.
It works out.
Yes.
It's the 50s.
Very much so. I don't know where Kristen Stewart fits into all this, but there are a lot of places for you to get to see her react and find out a little bit more about what makes her tick.
I just want to know what's going on.
And if you have any questions or feel bewildered by any of her behavior, I want you to rest assured the Claire Huxtable
is on speed dial.
It's a phone call away.
Oh, hang on. There's no speed dial in
the 50s.
That's
right. In this case, probably there's just like
my answering
a bat
service.
Phone.
Yeah.
It's a red phone that connects you directly to Claire Huxtable's brain.
Yes.
Rhea, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on.
What would you like people to know about you? I feel certain that they can find you on social media.
Yeah.
And,
at Rhea Butcher for Instagram and Twitter, which is R-H-E-A-B-U-T-C-H-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
That's those handles. And then my website is just my name because I'm going on tour this fall with Cameron Esposito starting on next week, which I don't know the date of. I think it's the 11th, we have a show at the Gramercy Theater, and then all other tour dates are on our websites, respective websites.
Great, guys, get out there and see
Come on
these
out
amazing
and see
ladies.
And you can buy that calendar I was talking about.
And you can buy the calendar.
We're going to have it with
us. I got to see this calendar. Yeah, it sounds like it's right at my alley. guys, and thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.